Oh, God bless. God bless everyone. God bless listeners. Oh, man. I feel like it has been an eternity since I've gotten to experience the word. It's funny how absence, makes the heart grow fonder. I didn't think I could be any fonder, but, took a little absence and there you go. I once heard someone say that instead of absence makes the heart grow fonder, they said absinthe makes the heart grow fonder. Absinthe. Do you get it? Oh my God. Oh, praise God for the humor that he's given us for the gift of laughter. What are the odds that God would design a language like English? He had to for the Bible and everything, but where two words, absinthe and absence, would sound the same but yet be so different. One of those little things to philosophize about, philosophize. This is so strange. I've forgotten to introduce myself. I can only assume that most of you are repeat listeners, but maybe the Lord has led a few new, stragglers, collected a few stragglers from the path to righteousness and given them over to my podcast. So for anyone new, go back and listen because a lot has happened, and I would not recommend starting on episode 103, Chronicles 29, 2 Chronicles 29 through 2 Chronicles 31. I would not recommend that to be the start of. I don't know if you can hear my kitten. I closed the door because I wanted to have some privacy with you guys. And this kitten is getting really clingy. It's weird. I mean, it could have something to do with the word, but it also might just be that she's a kitten. I don't know. One or the other. Really clingy. She's been meowing after me all the time, pining. Yeah, that's her. I don't know if you can hear her. She'll eventually die of hunger or something. The Lord has a way of dealing with things like that. He wouldn't let his word be interrupted. So, where was I? We're on 29 of 2 Chronicles. Beautiful book. Not all sequels work out, Godfather 2, terrible movie. Matrix 2, on the other hand, that's a sequel that did work out. 2 Chronicles, I would say, is as good as 1 Chronicles. As good, I would say. Which is the trick, isn't it? I mean, Gremlins 2 was another really good sequel. But it's not easy. And that's how you know this isn't a man-made book, because when humans make art and they make sequels to that art, it doesn't usually... Are you guys hearing this? All right, I'm going to have to pause this. It's not going to work out to have her yowling the entire time. What in the world? Okay, all right. Okay, kitten. You know what? God can wait, kitten. No, go ahead. Go ahead and meow. I will make God and his word wait on you and your needs. Okay? I will put you first. That's what you want me to do, right? Huh? Apparently that's what I have to do. So I have to tell God, "Sorry God, you're not important enough. I have to go deal with a screaming kitten that you couldn't silence for some reason." But that's life. So I'll be right back. Okay. Well, I had the cat put down because I'm not allowed to put something before God. I'm not going to do that. So, call me cruel, call me whatever, call me courageous, call me, a bad cat parent, but what am I to do? I can't, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. All right. I'm going to try to move on because, you know, otherwise I'm going to think about the cat and I gotta move on. So 2 Chronicles 29. You know, one last thing. Oh, thank you to those who've donated. There have been a couple amazing people. I don't know if you guys want me to say your names or not. I mean, the Lord knows who you are. But the Lord doesn't usually tell everybody else who you are. And I think you deserve some recognition. So bear with me while I try to remember the login. What the hell is that login? Oh, yeah. Okay. So thank you guys very much. I'm going to find the last couple people I didn't mention who donated. I'm going to find you right now so I can... thank you by name, because you rock. And also, the other thing I was going to say, I received a few curious comments about the last episode saying, you know, I changed my tune, or, you know, I'm a different kind of person now. And I have to say, I don't quite understand it. You know, I'm racking my brain, and it's possible that I used to be a little less of the faith. You know, that's certainly possible. I'll grant that. I mean, everyone has a journey. Different paths lead to the Lord, of course. Praise be to Him. But I can't say I remember not believing. I mean, I've been doing this podcast. I could probably listen back. I don't really have the time. I could listen back to the archives, but I don't recall having that big of a change. But I don't know. You know, I just we'll move forward, agree to disagree. You know, I'm my path is with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think that anyone who is on a different path than the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not going to get to where they want to go, because He is the only scout leader that I want to take me on a path down in an old abandoned forest, abandoned by Him. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying, but you know, He's the only Cub Scout leader for me, is what I'm saying. So. You're not getting any merit badges from any other Cub Scout leaders besides Jesus Christ. You know, he's the ultimate Eagle Scout. You know, I think that's why on the money in my country, the US of A, there's an eagle on there somewhere, one of the $3 bill or something. And I think that symbolizes Jesus and the fact that He's an Eagle Scout, and He will lead you down that path. And if you are on a different path, my friends, I don't know what to say. I don't know where that path leads. It doesn't lead to it. It leads into a volcano or something. I don't know. It's not good. We'll put it that way. So, I forget if I thanked. I'm going to go who I think was the last few people. Robert W., thank you so much. Don't see any note or anything, but I appreciate it. Jeff P., I'm not giving out your real names because there are hitmen who listen to this podcast who will have you killed for donating. It's controversial. Enemies of Christ. No, I don't know. I just in case privacy reasons, I don't want to say people's last names. I don't know. So Jeff P. and Emily S. Not going to give away your last name, but it is the same as my last name. So... I think in the future, superheroes will be those like me who can't be Googled, because my name is literally Thomas Smith. Good luck. I mean, good luck. Go ahead and Google me and find all my private things. Like, there's no way. It's just not going to happen. I mean, I guess eventually if you went through 9,200 people on Facebook, you might find me or something. But that's going to be the next superhero movie, Marvel. It'll just be a guy named like John Smith, I guess, or whatever the most common thing is. It'd be like, in a world where anyone can Google you at a moment's notice, there is one man who stands above the crowd. Something like that. I don't know. And he'll be able to, like everyone else, when they try to fight crime, someone will just Google them and, like, find their address and just kill them. But, like, they won't be able to Google. To be fair, though, it won't be just one guy. It'll be a billion people named John Smith. So they'll all have to band together. That's an interesting plot. What if a bunch of people with the same name had to band together because they're the only... Anyway, all right, I got to get to this wonderful, wonderful book. I think you'll find that there are a lot of lessons in this reading, as there are in every reading of God's great word. So thank you so much, donators. You've made one happy donatee. And please continue. You can go to the Facebook. You can go to thomasinthebible.com. And both of those pages have a donate button. Much appreciated. It goes to podcast costs, of which there are a lot. Podcast. It'll never add up to what I've spent on it, but it helps. And it definitely keeps me over and above my faith in the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, head Eagle Scout of the nation. Over and above that, the money helps. So thank you very much. You know, I keep trying to think of a prize and I just don't want to be lame. I was thinking like, oh, I could send you, you know, I could do a drawing, send someone like autographed Bible or something. But I think because I have such a low self-esteem, that sounds like an incredibly lame prize to me. So that sucks. But maybe not. Maybe that's just because I'm not well equipped psychologically. Would that be something cool? I could write you a little note or something. I don't know. That could be round one. I don't know. I like the idea of sending some sort of book, some sort of something, you know, prize. I'll get it figured out, I promise. All right. So enough delay. Enough of me. Enough of this fallen, sinful man you're hearing. Enough of me. I'm imperfect. Time to get to something that isn't imperfect, that is perfect. 2 Chronicles 29. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old, and he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father has done. You know, it really feels like I've read this before. Did I do 29? I swear it was 24 through 28. This is terribly unprofessional of me. Terribly unprofessional. Let me just make doubly sure. It could be sometimes that, you know, there's patterns and the pattern repeats and it sounds like the exact same thing that I just read. I just want to double check. Yeah, it says I did 24 through 28. I was right. That is very curious. This is sounds like I've already read this, but must be another king who did the same thing. And in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord your God of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. I don't know what the filthiness is. It could have been women, you know, women on their period is definitely something that the Lord doesn't like. You know, he doesn't, ugh, that's filthiness. And can you blame him? You know, filth. So it might be that. It could be gays, you know. I don't know if it's metaphorical. Carry the filthiness out of the holy place. I don't know. Maybe it's just dirty. Maybe it's just clutter, you know, maybe papers, old bills, you know. I don't know guess what it is. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the sight of the Lord of our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. Also they have shut up the doors of the porch, and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the Lord God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them into trouble, to astonishment and to hissing, as ye see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. The Lord does love incense. Does it smell terrible in heaven? Is that what it is? I don't know. I'm just asking the question as a simple man. Why does the Lord love incense so much? Does the Holy Ghost drop a deuce every day? Is that what it is? And it's just so smelly up there. Oh, I'm going to hell for making this joke. Oh, man, I'm going. Oh, there's a special place for me right now. But, you know, I'll do an extra Hail Mary, you know, or something. But I can't help but ask, why does the Lord love incense so much? Why didn't he just make the world smell better or something? I don't know. How does the incense get to him? Does it go through the atmosphere? Can you smell things in space? Is God in space? These are all questions for more studied men than I. More devout. I say men because I mean men. Because we all know women can't study anything. I don't know why am I telling you that? That's that's obvious. I just you know, these you know, liberal religious and atheists, you know, talk about women studying things. I don't, you know, I guess that's what got into my head. I don't know why I said that. Of course it's men. You have to have a penis to be able to study these things. I think part of the knowledge is kept in the penis. If not the penis, could be the testes, you know. I don't know. Maybe we could experiment with that. Maybe if we attached a prosthesis to a woman and saw if she could study the word as well as a man, maybe it would work. I don't know. I think that's messing with the Lord a little bit, you know. Not something I want to do. I want to be on, I may have said this, I would like to be on the path of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Head Eagle Scout, through the woods, making fires with sticks and that kind of thing, earning badges, because the other path is not a good path. Leads straight into a volcano. And you might ask, why can't you just turn around once you get near the volcano? Because it would be pretty obvious that you'd be heading to a volcano. And I, you know, that's the first thing I'm going to ask the Lord when I get there. That why can't you turn around when you're on the wrong path? I don't know. But you can't. You go straight into that volcano. You know, what was I talking about? The smell. Anyway, then the Levites arose, and Mahath the son of Amasai, and Joel the son of Azariah, and the sons of Kohathites, and of the sons of Merari, Kish the son of Abdi, Azariah the son of Jahaliel, and a bunch of other sons, and the sons of Sarabah, some sons. And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. And the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. Soap scum. That's what that sounds like to me, because when you get soap scum on your shower doors, and I'm assuming they have shower doors in the temple. They don't strike me as curtain people. I don't know why. But you get mildew and some soap scum on those doors. That's hard to wash off, you know, because you got to like detach them. But they're heavy and jagged and, you know, and I have a hard time with it. I know I struggle with it, soap scum. But it is uncleanness that needs to be purged if you want to follow the path of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So they're doing that. And the Levites took it to carry out abroad into the brook Kidron. Now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify. And on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days. And in the 16th day of the first month, they made an end. Then they went in to Hezekiah the king and said, "We have cleansed all the house of the Lord and the altar of burnt offering with all the vessels thereof, and the shewbread table with the vessels thereof." They don't mention shower doors, but I don't know if that's an oversight or a language thing. It had to have been that. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression, that's not even anything, transgression, have we prepared and sanctified, and behold, they are before the altar of the Lord. Then Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. And they brought 7 bullocks and 7 rams and 7 lambs and 7 brides for 7 brothers and 7 he-goats and for sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. And he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. So they killed the bullocks and the priest received the blood and sprinkled it on the altar. Well, didn't you just clean up this mess? So they just went in there and cleaned, and then now you got blood and guts everywhere. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to question anyone in the Bible, although sometimes they are doing the wrong thing. So maybe God will kill them if I'm right. But you just cleaned the temple. You know, you had your rubber gloves on. Everybody was scrub-a-dub-dubbing, you know, soap scum eliminated somehow. And they have a holy remedy for it. I don't know how to do it, but they do, I'm sure. And then they're bringing in a bunch of livestock, which, you know, that they poop. Livestock poop, I believe. You know, I'm going to fact check that, actually. I'm going to open up a Wikipedia window. But while I'm doing that, while I'm checking whether or not livestock poop, and I believe they, yes, they do. Okay, I checked that. They're bringing in a bunch of livestock. They're murdering them, you know, which I don't have a problem with, of course. They're assholes. That's why the Lord has us kill them. They're dicks, you know. But they have blood and guts everywhere. I don't know. I guess they're just going to have to clean it up all over again. But, you know, labor of love. The Lord is a labor of love. Write that down. I want that to be one of my quotes that people remember me for. The Lord, loving the Lord is a labor of love. No, that's that love. The love of the Lord is a labor of love. I'm going to come up with a nice quote. You know, I want to be remembered. But it is true. It is a labor of love. Love the labors never lost on the Lord is a labor of love. That's pretty good. Loving the Lord. I'm going to think about it. The Lord is a labor of love. It's pretty good. And the priest killed them and made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar to make atonement for all of Israel. And for the king commanded that the burnt offering and the sin offering should be made for all Israel. And he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals and psalteries and with harps, according to the commandment of David and of Gad, the king's seer, and Nathan, the prophet. For so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. And the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord also began with the trumpets, and with the trumpets ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. And all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made an end of the offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshipped. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and Asaph the seer, and they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped. Then Hezekiah answered and said, Now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of free heart burnt offerings. And the number of the burnt offerings which the congregation brought was 70 bullocks and 100 rams and 200 lambs. All these were for a burnt offering to the Lord. You know, I don't burn enough lambs, I don't think. I want to be a good Christian. I don't just want to be a good Christian, though. I do, but I also want to honor the Old Testament because I think it gets neglected. And I don't think I burn enough rams, lambs, and automobiles. 10 bullocks, 100 rams. Look, I'm being outdone. I'm being embarrassed right now. Listen to how many. 70, 10 bullocks, 100 rams. How many ask yourselves, how many rams have you burned? Is it 100? I mean, I don't mean ever, because this is just one day they did this. How many rams did you burn yesterday? Answer that. Don't answer that. Think about it. Keep it. Keep the number in your head. How many rams? How many lambs did you burn yesterday? Don't answer that. Keep it in your head. Write it down. Write that down. Add them together. And then multiply that by 100. And I think you will get 0. I think that's the answer you will get. And that's sad. That's very sad, and it's unfortunate, and it's something that I think we need to fix as worshipers of Christ and of the Bible. We don't burn enough. I've heard at some point it tells you don't need to do that or something, but I don't know. It also says you need to do it, so I don't know. I just pick which one you want. I think a lot of people pick the not needing to do it interpretation. And how do we know that's the right one? It might be the wrong one. It might be the wrong interpretation. So just to be safe, I'm going to order some lamb. I guess it'll just have to, I don't know if I can get an entire lamb. If I just burn a slice of lamb, like just overcook it a little bit and then eat it, do you think that's a percentage good? Like, do you think that'll kind of help? I don't know. These are theological questions which more learned men than I will need to tell us. But I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. And the number, no, I read this. And the consecrated things were 600 oxen. That is so much more than the number of oxen by roughly 600 that I ever burn. 3,000 sheep. 3,000 sheep. I don't even touch that number. I don't even get close to that number. I'm quite embarrassed. But the priests were too few, so that they could not flay all the burnt offerings. Wherefore their brethren, the Levites, did help them, till the work was ended, and until the other priests had sanctified themselves. For the Levites were more upright in the heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. And also the burnt offerings were in abundance, with the fat of the peace offerings and the drink offerings for every burnt offering. So, you know, there's a lot of offering going on. How often does the Lord partake? You know, it's like we give him this infinite hors d'oeuvre tray, and the Lord's always like, no, thank you. It's interesting. It's called an offering, but I feel like we usually end up eating it. By we, I mean humans. Kind of weird. And Hezekiah rejoiced in all the people that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. So that's the end of 29. And I need to take another brief pause, which will be no time to you, because it's God's miracle. Okay, chapter 30. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. For the king had taken counsel, and his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem, to keep the Passover in the second month. For they could not keep it at that time, because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently, neither had the people gathered, gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. And the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. So they established a decree to make a proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even to Dan. That's just a guy named Dan who stands. There's Beersheba is a city. There's another bunch of cities. And then all the way to the other side is just Dan. He just likes to hang out kind of away from everybody. But he's the last person. So it's Beersheba all the way to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem. For they had not done it of a long time in such sort as it was written. So the posts went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, according to the commandment of the king, saying, Ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria. and be not like ye like your fathers. Be not, and be not ye like your fathers, and like your brethren, which trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as ye see. Now, be ye not stiff-necked, as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord, and enter into his sanctuary, which he hath sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. For if ye turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again to this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn his face away from you if ye return unto him. So maybe the Israelites are finally getting their S together. I don't know. This is getting toward the end of Second Chronicles, so I forget where the story leaves off. But yeah, maybe they get it together. I don't know. Looks like that's what they're trying to do. So these posts pass from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun, but they laughed them to scorn. Okay, and mocked them. This is not going to end up good for them, I don't think. Guys, there's one thing. Let me be very serious right now. I know occasionally I say things that are not fully serious. Sometimes I joke. You know, I josh you guys. I give the Bible little playful pokes and prods occasionally. Just, you know, just tickle the Bible just a little bit. Get a laugh, you know. But this is something that I'm not joking about. You cannot mock the Lord in this way, in this manner. These people are sending a message that they want to start, you know, celebrating Passover properly again. They want to start doing a bunch of stuff. You know, they want to do right by the Lord. And people are mocking these messages. They're mocking them. And that does not fly. I know I make jokes, but you cannot joke about this. You know, I poke fun here and there. You know, sometimes I know that I'm me, so it's okay. But these people are not me, and they are poking fun at the Lord, and it's a problem. It's a problem, and there's going to be a reckoning. I think we'll see. Nevertheless, divers, I don't think it's actual divers like scuba divers, but I think it's going to be that diverse word. Divers of Asher and Manasseh and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord. And there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month, a very great congregation. And they rose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and all the altars for incense took they away, and cast them into the brook Kidron. Then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month, and the priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves, and brought in the burnt offerings into the house of the Lord. And they stood in their place after their manner, according to the law of Moses, the man of God. The priest sprinkled the blood, which they received of the hand of the Levites. For there were many in the congregation that were not sanctified. Therefore the Levites had the charge of killing of the Passovers for every one that was not clean to sanctify them unto the Lord. I just heard a noise. I wasn't sure what it was. For a multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh and Issachar, and Zebulun had not cleansed themselves, yet they did eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, "The good Lord pardon everyone that prepareth his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary." And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. Important message. Some people didn't quite follow the rules right. It's difficult. There's a lot of rules, a lot of reading. It takes a bold, dare I say it, courageous, intelligent man to read the whole Bible. It takes a fierce intellect and just a commitment. It's hard, you know, not everyone can do it. It takes, you know, it takes a drive. It takes a certain confidence that's associated with, I don't want to get crude, but associated with a large member, you know, it's scientific. It's not, I'm not being crude on you guys. Just having a very large member gives you the confidence and the competence that you need and the drive you need to be able to read the Bible. And I'm not talking about me per se. I'm talking about everyone who has the courage to read the whole Bible in a sort of a podcast format, and name it after themselves, you know, and just everyone like that and post it. And give commentary about it. It takes a lot. So sorry, what I'm saying is that was a little indirect. But what I was saying is, some of these people, the lesson is, some of these people, they didn't quite follow all the rules just right. They didn't have them all just so, you know. But someone prayed and said, please, can you? These people are, their hearts are in the right place. Not all of them have large members, like are the one kind that are required to read this book and have a podcast about it. They might have done the ceremony wrong. So I'm praying for them that you accept them anyway. And the Lord did. And the children of Israel that were present in Jerusalem kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. And Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord, and they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confession to the Lord God of their fathers. And the whole assembly took counsel to keep other 7 days, and they kept other 7 days with gladness. For Hezekiah, king of Judah, did give to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 7,000 sheep, and the princes gave the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 sheep, and a great number of priests sanctified themselves. And all the congregation of Judah, with the priests and the Levites, and all the congregation that came out of Israel, and all the strangers that came out of the land of Israel that dwelt in Judah, rejoiced. So there was a great joy in Jerusalem, since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. Then the priests of the Levites arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to the holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. That's the end of 30. We're going on to 31. This will be our final chapter for this reading. I know, everyone just groaned. Final chapter? How could there be a final chapter? Well, it's not the final chapter of the Bible. That doesn't come until at least 20 or 30 chapters from now. Probably more than that. That's just an estimate. Probably more of the 60, 70 chapters. Anyway, I know it's hard, but though our time may be short, you know, it's time spent with the Word. It's time spent reflecting, with a holy heart. And, you know, I'm not good at coming up with these really nice things to say. I'm trying, you know, I'm just a man trying my best, but it's time spent with a hallowed heart and with a praising mind, and my laundry is done, and with, penitent hands. I think I'm doing pretty well. I'm trying to say something nice. Thesaurus. This might help. With a bowed head. It's time we spent... hallowed. Maybe I'll type it out. With a holy, holy head. And it's time spent with a dedicated soul and a divine and inviolable... inviolable, sacrosanct sanctified, enshrined soul is what I would say. Okay, chapter 31. Now when all this was finished, all Israel that were present went out to the cities of Judah and break the images in pieces and cut down the groves and threw down the high places and the altars out of all Judah and Benjamin in Ephraim also and Manasseh until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned, every man to his possession, into their own cities. And Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites after their courses, every man according to his service, and the priests and the Levites for burnt offerings and for peace offerings, to minister and give thanks and to praise in the gates of the tents of the Lord. He appointed also to the king's portion of his substance for the burnt offerings, to wit, for the morning and evening burnt offerings, and the burnt offerings for the Sabbaths and for the new moons, and for the set feasts, as is written in the law of the Lord. Moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and the Levites, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and of all the increase in the of the field, and the tithe of all the things brought they in abundantly. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep, and the tithe of holy things which were consecrated unto the Lord their God, and laid them by heaps. In the third month they began to lay the foundation of the heaps, and finished them in the seventh month. And when Hezekiah and the princes came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. Then Hezekiah questioned with the priests and the Levites concerning the heaps. And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, "Since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat, and we have left plenty, for the Lord hath blessed his people, and that which is left is this great store." Then Hezekiah commanded to prepare the chambers in the house of the Lord, and they prepared them. And they brought in the offerings and the tithes and the dedicated things faithfully, over which Conaniah, that's a name I haven't seen, C-O-N-O-N-I-A-H, Conaniah, the Levite, was ruler. And Shimei, his brother, was the next. And Jehiel and Azaziah and Nahath and Azahel and Jeremoth and Jozabad and Eliel and Ism, his people, were overseers under the hand of Conaniah and Shimei, his brother, at the commandment of Hezekiah the king, and Azariah, the ruler of the house of God. And Kore, K-O-R-E, Kore? I don't know. Kore, the son of Imnah, the Levite, the porter toward the east, was over the freewill offerings of God to distribute the oblations of the Lord and most holy things. And next him were Eden and Miniamin and Jeshia and blah, 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 in the cities of the priests in their set office to give their brethren by courses as well as to the great as the small. Besides their genealogy of males from 3 years old and upward, even unto every one that entereth into the house of the Lord, his daily portion for their service and their charges according to the courses, both to the genealogy of the priests by the house of their fathers and the Levites from 20 years old and upward in their charges by their courses, and to the genealogy of all their little ones, their wives and their sons and their daughters, and through all the congregation, for in their set office they sanctified themselves in holiness. Also of the sons of Aaron the priests, which were in the fields of the suburbs of their cities, and in every several city, the men that were expressed by name to give portions to all the males among the priests, and to all that were reckoned by genealogies among the Levites. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. And that's the end of our reading today. But don't take my word for it. Go crack a book, crack the Bible. Just, even if you don't read it because you don't want to spoil it, because, you know, it's going to mess up my show. But just flip the pages. I have the pages right. Just flip through the pages. Just smell the word. Just smell the word of the Lord. Just sort of, you know, what I'm doing is I've got one hand on the spine of the word of the Lord and another hand on the front, and I'm flipping through the pages. You can probably hear, and I'm just get a holy whiff of the Lord, of the word in your everyday routine. And if you do, I guarantee you, you will be more hallowed. Let me look at some more synonyms. You will be beatified and consecrated. And also, I found my allergies are a little better. That's another benefit. Just breathe in the word. Breathe in, hold it in your lungs for like a 2 or 3 Mississippi, you know, and then you will be lionized. No, that's not a good synonym. You'll be commended. I clicked on a word that's not giving me good synonyms. You'll be cleansed. You'll be absolved of your sins if you just take a holy whiff. Okay, I got to end this show. Thank you so much. Please donate. Because the Lord needs his cash. And I owe the Lord 12 large. So I need that money from you guys. Anything else to say? Follow me. Guys, follow me on Twitter, @ T and the B. I make good jokes. You know, I've got a lot of listeners and not as many followers. It's sad. Just follow me. Just do it. The other day, I was talking shit to my followers about the people who don't follow me. And I knew that you weren't going to hear about it until now, I guess, because you weren't following me, you know? So that's how I was able to talk S about you. And I did. I said some mean things. I didn't mean it. I'll take it all back as long as you follow me. So follow me on Twitter. Come on. But if you're the number one thing is donate, because God needs his cash. Number two thing, follow me on Twitter. Tied with Facebook, facebook.com/TNTheB. Those are 2 and 3 are tied. And then after that, check out F This Podcast. And all right. Thank you guys so much. I'm yours in Christ, Thomas.